The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Forgetting to put Marquez Valdes-Scantling in your Week 6 lineup? That was not smart. But using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus. Fantasy Focus.
Football Podcast, we are riding into Wednesday, October 17th. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, and star Stefania Bell is back. Stefania, you missed the show yesterday. You missed something.
No, I didn't miss it actually because Twitter filled me in. And so luckily there's this video clip out there. This is the beauty of what we do, Field, that some of these things, rants, epic rants, like the one Matthew Berry put on display yesterday in my absence, can live on in perpetuity.
I kind of think Matthew went viral yesterday. Now, I'm not so sure what the definition of going viral is. It might be subjective.
Is it like having a virus?
I hope Matthew does not have a virus because he could be contagious, and I would not like to miss any work. But what I would say is this.
Yeah.
In my book, and let's just call it the official book of going viral, Matthew went viral yesterday. Congratulations, father.
Thank you.
Jerk for keying my car.
You have mastered the social media game.
Apparently.
The rant game. Yeah. The rant game. Well, yeah, give him too much credit, Stefania. His head's already grown a couple sizes since last night.
It came from a true place of hatred and frustration.
You
and
don't
anger.
Say.
Oh my
God. For those of you who might be wondering, I saw Matthew Berry later in the afternoon yesterday, and he delivered the rant personally.
I did.
In my face.
That's true.
Screaming everything about the 49ers. So I not only got to watch it, I got to relive it in person one-on-one.
I just feel like karmically, the odds of the 49ers winning a game ever again are slim now.
Because they wronged you.
They have angered the fantasy gods. Not just me. So many people reacted to the video telling me this happened to me as well. So many people were, counting on Alfred Morris.
For one point.
I
have a new rule.
One point.
I have a new rule.
No. But like missing in the rant that where the clip was the fact that like beat writers throughout the week were saying it was Morris.
We heard all that, Matthew. My new rule is this. I have a new rule.
What's that?
A player is active for a game.
Yeah.
He automatically gets 1 point. All issues solved.
It just feels like somebody that was our starting running back the week before.
Right. Like if you got
should
at
get
least
more than
five
one snap.
Fantasy points per yeah.
Should get more than one snap.
But if you actually watch the game.
I watched every snap.
I know you did because people what you don't know is that I got texts like every 10 minutes from Matthew. What's going on with your 49ers? Why isn't Morris on the field? But the thing is,
what is the point of having your cell phone if I can't blow it up during games?
The Mostert connection looks really good. Like that tandem of running backs looked really good. And so Kyle Shanahan might surprise you. He's out there to actually try to win a football game. He's not there to solve your fantasy problem.
Stefania, I don't disagree with anything you just said there. I thought Mostert looked great. They ran the ball very successfully. The only reason they lost is because they did this to me. But my issue isn't that. My issue is that he literally declared Matt Breida doubtful for the game. He was described as a mid-ankle sprain and just that there was
He was officially questionable, so stop it.
There's nothing out there in terms of.
He was not officially doubtful.
That he referred to him as doubtful. The head coach called him doubtful in a quote. In a press conference, he was quoted as saying that. And so unlikely to play. Doubtful means unlikely to play.
You're not allowed to do that.
It's true. What is wrong?
Because the official injury report that comes out on Saturday for the Monday night game had Matt Breida as questionable.
Okay. But did Kyle Shanahan, did he or did he not say he's doubtful to play in that game?
Anyway, the point is,
it's a Wednesday show. We got some time.
Tarika, we really don't.
We do. We're fine.
No, we really don't.
I'm just wrapping up. I'm going to say All I'm going to say here is that there should have been some news from any of the beat reporters from that, hey, Morris has moved to third on the depth chart. I got no problem with moving Morris to the third the depth chart.
Okay, let us know. Hold on. Stop. Do not in any way implicate the beat reporters who have no idea. There was no sign whatsoever.
That's my point. Of course, Kyle Shanahan didn't just screw me. He screwed the beat reporters. He screwed everyone.
Oh, yeah. So now it's Kyle Shanahan's job to make sure that your lineup is set.
Obviously.
Extra, extra. Read all about it.
News or noise?
Loud noises!
All right, so we're just going to play a game of news because I think all this is news as opposed to news or noise. But Devontae Freeman yesterday went from potentially missing Week 7 to being placed on injured reserve. Stefania, this felt like not an about-face, but a shift in his timeline.
It sure did. I mean, the news was surprising because when he went on the injury report last, the thing that caused him to miss last week's game, it was because of a bone contusion in his foot. That was the early report. And at the time, the Falcons said they were not as concerned about this injury as they had been about the knee injury that caused him to miss several weeks at the start of the season. But snuck in there over the week was that he had a groin injury added next to his name. And I think what happened yesterday, and this is what often happens on the first couple days of the week, player gets evaluated, start having conversation about how you're going to manage the injury, and the groin injury ended up being something that was more significant. Saw a specialist, opted for the surgery, and I think the thought, the conversation, which is very real, was, do you play through this and try and continue to manage it as the season goes on, knowing that you may not be able to play very effectively and you're probably going to be in pain the whole time, or do you just get it addressed and still have the potential to come back later in the season? And that's what Devontae Freeman's opted for. So he goes on the injured reserve, has the potential to return after 8 weeks.
So we're talking about him returning as soon as week 14, but it's no given. At this point, with Devontae Freeman, if you have him, you need the roster spot. He is droppable. But Matthew, there's all of a sudden a new focus on, yes, Tevin Coleman, but I think Ito Smith's the name that we're discussing even more today because Coleman has been rostered. He was drafted. He has been utilized, but all of a sudden Ito Smith's going to have weekly value.
There's no question about it. I mean, he's had weekly value. Last couple of weeks, he scored in three straight games. Sony Michel, David Johnson, the only two running backs that can say that. So pretty good company for him to be in there. And so I actually believe, given on sort of how they're built and how the Falcons run their offense, I kind of think Ito Smith takes over the Devontae Freeman role. That I don't think all of a sudden it's like that.
I don't think that
Coleman moves into the Freeman role and then Ito Smith moves into the Coleman role. Yeah, I think this is going to be much more.
So rest of season, you prefer Ito Smith to Tevin Coleman?
I think it is close. I think wow. It is close. I genuinely do because I'll say this. I believe Ito Smith has more touchdown potential than Tevin Coleman. Since he got his first, Ito Smith didn't play in week one. So since week two, when he first got his first carry, he leads the Falcons with rushing attempts inside an opponent's 10-yard line.
Mm.
You know, I mean, like he's somebody that is, he's built a little bit bigger than Tevin Coleman.
Sure about that?
Yes.
Like how much bigger are we talking about?
A little bit bigger. I don't know that he's, it feels like to me from what I've seen that they use him more that the way they use Devontae Freeman.
So he's 4 inches shorter and 15 pounds lighter. But yeah, he's definitely both a little bit bigger than him.
I don't know. I'm just going. I've met both of them, and I'm just standing back next to both of them. Ito Smith struck me as bigger. I'm just. I'm literally going off the eye
test.
So
he's been out. He's basically been out snapped 2-1 and out touched, not quite 2-1, but close to 2-1 in the four games that Devontae Freeman has missed. Listen, if you're trying to talk me into a board bet, some sort of Tevin Coleman with like a certain buffer of points rest of season versus Ito Smith, I'll take it, dude. I like Ito Smith. My point was less about him like taking on the Devontae Freeman role. Like I just think he has worked himself into almost a guarantee for between 10 and 12 touches a game.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more than that. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe actually that in the games in which Devontae Freeman has not played, their snap percentage is almost equal. Their touches are almost equal.
In the four games that Devontae Freeman has missed this season, Tevin Coleman has played 162 snaps compared to 84 for Smith. Again, the 2-1 that I was referencing.
Yeah, but what about the last two games? The last two games, that's skewed by like week two. And what's the last two games?
Freeman has missed. Like, I'm not sure how much clearer I need to be.
The last two games. What are the last two games?
I don't have the
– We're looking it up right now. Kyle's going through it.
Kyle's
remember, there was the game
right
2 weeks ago where they were getting blown out against the Steelers, and they pulled all their starters, including Matt Ryan, and Ito Smith played a lot. This past week, Ito Smith played a comparable amount to Tevin Coleman, but it has been clear to me, at least, that Tevin Coleman is the superior in terms of usage back for Atlanta going forward.
Over the last 2 weeks, Tevin Coleman has 20 touches. Ito Smith has 17.
So again, so factoring in the blowout win a couple weeks ago, right? Like, so that's fine. If you think it's that close, that's fine.
Those two games were what? What were those two games?
41-17 against the Steelers.
I'm asking Daniel.
41-17 Steelers.
Right.
And 34-29? 34-29 Bucks.
There you go. So, that is my belief.
Okay.
So
I think it's clearly Tevin Coleman the rest of the way.
So you think it's 2-1, Tevin Coleman to...
I mean, specifically 2-1, somewhere in that ish. Yeah. I think it's Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman when they're on the field together tight. Split.
I have more confidence in Ito Smith here, but so let's do a board bet here.
So we got to find a way to like jerry rig it, right? Because
right.
I mean, I would
so
obviously
2-1. You're going to give me so 2-1. You believe Tevin Coleman outscores Ito Smith the rest of the way 2-1.
2-1. Like again, Ito Smith's getting a lot of goal line carries. So like what I'm saying
but that's
is
part of my
usage,
argument.
Right? So my point is like I said, a certain number of points rest of the season.
Okay.
So I bet it's like.
But so you think Tevin Coleman is how
like
much
5 points per game better, 7 points per game better, somewhere call it 6 points per game better. So there are what. 10 games left in their season?
Wow. There's some math going on.
60
people.
Points. Tevin Coleman, 60 more points the rest of the way than Ito Smith.
Sure,
a
I'll
lot
take
of points,
that bet.
Why not?
Out. I'll take that bet.
Why not? Yeah.
Hey, so I say what you should start and then I'll say I disagree.
I
basically.
Say Tevin Coleman outscores Ito Smith by 60 points the rest of the 2018 season.
I say Ito Smith is within 60 points of Tevin Coleman the rest of the season. Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
We're going to have to figure out what happens if one of them gets injured
painful.
Or they miss time or Devontae
painful.
Freeman returns.
Yeah.
However, my point is this. I have a lot more confidence than you do in Tevin Coleman being the guy. Cairo Santos.
I'm not saying that Tevin Coleman suddenly going to. I think Ito Smith has a significant increase in the role, and I think this is a true running back by Kennedy. I think this is a split. Which is what it was before Devontae Freeman went down.
Another board bet win for me.
We'll see.
Cairo Santos was cut yesterday. Just like a practical matter here. Like don't, if you have been using him for the past 2 weeks, make sure you do not. And try to grab Greg Zuerlein. Greg the Leg. Young
yes.
GZ.
We told
Legatron.
You last week that that was time to pick him up.
45% of
but he's still there.
I don't think they go on a bye until week 11.
Yeah, it's pretty late.
So you've got, it's not like you're picking him up and then you're having to carry two kickers like the following week.
Right.
They don't go on a bye until week 12 of this year. So November 26th, you get a full month and a half of Greg the Leg, at which point you can decide on whether to keep him for that bye week or not. But an outstanding kicker who was money in the bank before his injury this year is back. Marshawn Lynch has a groin issue, Stefania. What do we know about that? It suffered, obviously, in that game in London. They're on a bye this week. Is there a concern for him into week 8?
Well, it sounds like John Gruden is expressing some concern that this could be an ongoing problem for him. If you actually go back to week 1,
yep.
Marshawn Lynch, who's been on the injury report every single week, and I've kind of marveled at the fact that every week it's been a different body part for
right.
him. And obviously with the amount of work he's getting and the wear and tear that he's had over his career, it's not surprising that he's on the injury report every week. But go back to week 1, he was listed with a groin injury and it hasn't kept him out of a game, but now there's enough concern that he's going to apparently go get it checked out a little bit this week. So don't forget, when Marshawn Lynch took that year off of football, he had just come off a core muscle repair. So that actually is something that is in his relatively recent past, and a groin injury is part of that core muscle group. So I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back to his surgeon, Bill Myers, gets it looked at and has a conversation. And we'll see what comes of it.
You know, Marshawn.
That's Stefania's phone, by the way, in case you're wondering what that buzzing is.
Marshawn Lynch has said that he wants.
It might be
to,
my wife. It's probably my wife calling you.
Marshawn Lynch has said he is not going to. He does not intend to play when the Raiders move to Vegas. We know that like
this
the end
it.
Of their career is coming soon. Now that won't be necessarily next year. But like, so if there's a possibility that Marshawn Lynch hangs him up, literally hangs him up again.
Yeah.
After this season, you wonder if like this is the kind of injury they say. Listen, like I understand, like. Under normal circumstances, if I had 5 years left, I might repair it and just, you know, think long term, but I don't know that he's thinking as much long term football life as many other, some other running backs would be. And you understand why. So we'll see whether or not that impacts his recovery time at all here, Matthew. But who will be the next man up? Like, do we have any feel on this whatsoever?
My belief is if suddenly Marshawn Lynch were out for the year, Doug Martin would be the between the tackles guy.
Yeah.
But I think who you'd want fantasy wise, Jalen Richard. Yeah. Jalen Richard, who's come on and he's the pass catching back. He's the guy that they use when they've been getting down. And so for me, I'd rather, I don't think Doug Martin's any good is personally. And I also think
the numbers
this defense
would suggest as much. Yeah.
And I don't think this defense is any good either. So the expectation is that, I mean, I think this is one of my concerns for Marshawn Lynch moving forward. And it's been a problem for his fantasy value so far this year is that when they're competitive in games, Lynch has been terrific. He's been their best offensive player. But the problem is that they're starting to get blown out, and so then they have to go pass heavy, and so it's been Jalen Richard, and now who knows what's going on with Amari Cooper. You know, he's banged up and also on the trade block, supposedly, and so as they look for pass-catching weapons in Oakland, my expectation is that while Doug Martin might be the starter, quote-unquote, if Lynch were to miss time, Jalen Richard is who you would want.
Yeah, I'd agree with that because, again, we talked about yesterday during the waiver wire column segment. They're so bad. They're going to be playing from behind a ton, and Richard has been their best. He's seriously been their second most targeted pass catcher this year. Only Jared Cook has seen more targets than Jalen Richard.
He's been terrific.
He's got 31 catches. That's also second on the team.
I will say this. Devontae Freeman going on injured reserve with a groin injury that they're going to address surgically. If the timetable would be essentially the same if Marshawn Lynch were to have to do the same thing.
Something that will certainly follow as the Raiders get back from a bye next week, and perhaps we'll get more information later on this week. Last piece of news before we get to some rankings. Evan Engram is back at practice and angling towards a Week 7 return on Monday Night Football, Stefania. Some good news for the Giants tight end.
Right, and we saw him pop up a little bit in practice last week, and there was conversation early that he might try and go. Last week, they had a short week. He was going to go, the thought was that he would go full speed and practice on Tuesday. That didn't end up happening. Mm. Still soreness in the knee. So they scaled him back, pulled him out Wednesday, knowing it was going to be a short week. Well, now you factor in, he's had like that additional 10 days recovery. So I would say, well, it's going to be 11 because it's Monday Night Football.
Right.
So by the time it rolls around, I think you can be fairly certain that you're going to see Evan Engram this week.
Matthew, difficult position to find players. He's a really good player. It's a really good matchup right back inside your lineup, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the concerns on Eli, who's looked brutal, but one of the things that, so extra time to prepare for this game and getting a talented pass catcher like Evan Engram back certainly would help, is going to help Eli Manning look a little bit better.
Oh, Eli Manning's been terrible, but he has at least 250 passing yards in 5 straight games. So for fantasy football, at least there's some yardage to go around to players like Evan Engram and Odell Beckham Jr. Eli, you know, 6 touchdown passes during a 4-game stretch where he also threw for 300 yards once and 297 another occasion.
Yeah, right. I mean, so, and right, and just the Falcons are one of the worst defenses in the NFL.
The
so gift beat up.
That keeps on giving. Stefania, tell us about 23andMe.
I will, Phil. Do you know 23andMe is a DNA testing service that can offer insights into your ancestry, health, wellness, and traits? The 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes reports on how your DNA can influence your weight, your sleep quality, caffeine intake, sense of taste, whether you are likely to be lactose intolerant, and more. It's easy to do. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit and mail your saliva sample back to the lab to be analyzed. Sleep reports. The Deep Sleep Report tells you if you're more likely to be an especially deep sleeper. The Sleep Movement Report tells you how much you're likely to move during your sleep based on your DNA. The Saturated Fat and Weight Report tells you based on your genetics how your weight might be affected by saturated fat in your diet. And it offers tips on which foods to watch out for if you're trying to eat less saturated fat. The Lactose Intolerance Report sheds insight into how your genetics may affect your ability to digest dairy products. Order your 23andMe Health and Ancestry Health and Ancestry Service Kit at 23andme.com/FFF. That's the number 23andme.com/FFF.
There you have it there. Let's get into our rankings chatter for week 7, available on ESPN.com already. And we begin with a couple of quarterback streaming options. Mitch Trubisky, over his past 2 weeks, Matthew, has been pretty awesome, completing nearly 72% of his passes. Would you consider starting him against the Patriots this Sunday? The Bears return home, play in a much more favorable environment compared to where they were last week.
I think it's a viable streamer. He comes in as QB 15 for me. I mean, over the past two weeks, I should say, I take that back. Over the past 3 weeks, he's the fourth best quarterback in total points. He missed a week there.
Sure.
Weeks 4 through 6, he's quarterback 4. He took a bye in week 5. Now, when you throw 6 touchdown passes against the Buccaneers, that inflates everything, but he still threw for 6 touchdown passes. You get to count it. My expectation is going against a Patriots team that's allowing the 10th most fantasy quarterback points this season, that we expect them to put on points. Remember, quarterbacks against the Patriots have increased their season-long pass attempts by almost 4%. So they quarterbacks against the Patriots average over 39 passing attempts per game.
Yeah.
So I think you see a lot of volume here for Trubisky. And it's worth noting that Trubisky, I think, a lot more mobile than people realize. Fifth most quarterback rushing yards so far this season as well.
100 rushing yards over the past 2 weeks for Mitch Trubisky. Yeah. Certainly raises the floor. And again, this is probably a little bit of analysis or paralysis by analysis, but if Khalil Mack is limited or unable to play in this game, yep, he's got an ankle injury. Obviously, the Bears defense does not go from great to terrible, but listen,
that's an impact.
Tom Brady has a little bit more time to throw on each snap, and he might be able to put up a few more points against an excellent Bears defense, and they might have to throw to keep up. The other most popular streaming quarterback option of the week is Baker Mayfield, y'all. He has the best matchup, at least so far this season, by going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You and I have him ranked just ahead of Mitch Trubisky. This is the window for Baker to make it happen.
Well, it's not just this week, but it's the next 4 weeks.
That's right.
You look at the upcoming schedule for the Cleveland Browns, and it's nothing short of amazing. Literally, the four worst teams in the NFL against the pass are who the Browns play next: Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Atlanta.
Yep.
Those are the next
They're
four.
They're all in the bottom five of pass defenses. Right.
Yeah. It's great. And one of the things that you like here, fourth most pass attempts over the last 3 weeks. So he is
at least
chucking
40 in each three games.
Yeah. So he is just chucking it a ton. Now, when you throw it, somebody needs to catch it. And so Antonio Callaway specifically, not helping. Like, the drops are brutal. They're actually dropping a league high 8.9% of his targets.
Yep.
Over his three starts. You have to figure that regresses the mean somewhere. Like, at some point, something starts happening in a positive way here.
Sure.
So given the volume, his talent, and knowing that we believe Tampa Bay will put up points on Cleveland, I think this is a bit of a shootout, Stefania.
I do too, and he's developing a little. The rapport with Njoku is starting to mesh, I think.
This is the kind of football game that if you're a non-vested interest party, you really enjoy this game. Like, it's going to be fun. Like, I envision this being, as Matthew said, a high-scoring affair between two teams who only see each other every 4 years on the schedule rotation, with a former number one overall pick in Jameis Winston and the current number one overall pick in Baker Mayfield. All of us are looking forward to that one. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with our running back chatter.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
All right, now for a quick word from this week's ZipRecruiter's Smartest Fan of the Week.
Hey, this is Gary Wallace, the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week. And I want to give a shout out to Ted f***ing Ginn and the Cincinnati Now, back to the show.
I don't get what the beeps are for. I don't understand them. Just kidding. Don't answer that. Let's get on to the running back ranks. And here's what makes fantasy football difficult.
It's just amazing, by the way, that as much as, like, Ted Ginn and the Cincinnati Bengals, like, I've never ranted about them the way I did.
I thought you said you never ranted about them, and I'm like, you've ranted.
I mean, yeah. I'm tempted not to come in today. I'm just like, what am I? I'm like, I should never go back to the podcast.
Alfred Moore is my favorite player now, by the way.
I know. You're trolling
me.
Shout out to you, Alf.
Oh, I'll be trolling. There'll be a lot of trolling. And it's not going to go away like anytime soon. Like, it's not like a temporary.
I can't wait to see what Kyle Shanahan rolls out for you this week.
You know, Alfred Moore. Yeah, like father, like son. You know, Alfred Moore is going to get 25 carries this week.
All right, let's get back to the running back rankings. We've got Alfred Morris inside of our top 15, but Matthew, oddly enough, has him at 57. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I couldn't help poke the bear a little bit more right there. Mark Ingram, really difficult to assess what Mark Ingram will be, not because he wasn't awesome last week. He was amazing in his return back in week 5 when he scored 2 touchdowns, got the opening play for the New Orleans Saints. I know you're well aware. My point is this, though, is that there are a lot of signs to suggest that that game could be the outlier as opposed to what we could see this upcoming weekend, right? Like, Alvin Kamara was basically not used. Correct. We expect Alvin Kamara to be the workhorse back. So here's how we have Ingram ranked. 13th for me, 15th for Stefania, 17th for Matthew. Stefania, I mean, you got to figure, even in a difficult matchup, that it's going to be a lot more Alvin Kamara and a little bit less Mark Ingram, but still good enough to play.
I looked at these two the way I saw them play out last year when they had multiple games together. And we talked about this being a tandem, one of the few tandems in the NFL where both running backs could be starters for you weekly. Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara were both ranked in the top 15 last year 6 different times. And those 6 games came within a 9-week stretch, weeks 7 to 15. So if you look at it now, we're about at that same time frame where they're starting to get together, and you have the potential for both of them to be top 15 running backs any given week of the season. So I still think Alvin Kamara has the edge. I think that part was the outlier of last week, but I think Mark Ingram is still a really strong play going forward.
I think the jury is still out on both. I think, to your point, he certainly could be, we could see two top 15 running backs from that offense. There's no question about that. I'm not convinced it's this week. I mean, I'm at 17 on him. I'm the lowest of the three of us. And candidly, I think I might be too high on him at 17. Mm-hmm. I'm nervous about this matchup.
Bad matchup.
It's against the Ravens. Matchup. They're the fifth most efficient red zone defense this season. They're allowing 13.4 fantasy points to opposing running backs this year. No single running back has scored even 13 points against the Ravens this year. The highest scoring running back against Baltimore this year was Royce Freeman, 12.8. If Mark Ingram were to score 13.4 fantasy points against the Ravens this week to be the highest scoring running back to face Baltimore all year long, based on last week's scoring, he would have been running back 17. 13.4 would have been running back 17 last week. So thinking about, you know, Stefania, to your point, the majority of what his value came from last year was touchdown. He was very touchdown dependent for his fantasy value because Kamara was the guy that was getting all the yards, all the catches, everything like that. Towards the second half of the season, Mark Ingram was averaging like 12 carries a game.
Right.
Like his usage went down once Alvin Kamara sort of exploded. Last 5 for Mark Ingram, he's averaging 2.93 yards per carry. That includes the playoff game. That includes the blow it against my Redskins. He hasn't been particularly efficient. What you're hoping for with Mark Ingram is that he falls into the end zone, which obviously he did twice. Not twice. I mean, he scored twice against the Redskins. One was a legit run. But I don't know. Like I said, I think you probably got to start him based on what you saw and given the state of the running back position. But to say that I am nervous about this, 100%, given the matchup, given that I think Alvin Kamara is the best running back on that team, and I don't think it's that close.
I do not disagree with anything that you said. This is a sort of fantasy, but maybe not entirely fantasy observation, is I'm really interested to watch this Ravens defense this week. They have played a couple of good offenses. The Steelers and the Bengals, they got waxed by the Bengals in that game. The Steelers, they did a great job containing them. Yeah. But
short weekend.
This is their most difficult test by far this season, even though they're playing at home. And it's also the Saints' most difficult test of the season. So a game that I think is sort of a litmus test
Saints
for the offense
and
the defense. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Saints have had 2 weeks to prepare for this one, but it is, to your point, it is at home. So will be certainly interesting. And worth noting, of course, that the Ravens' defense at the start of the year did not have Jimmy Smith.
Yes,
who's an important piece of that defense.
So we talked about this for quite a bit off the top of the show, the Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith divide in Atlanta. But let's just put a bow on it for week 7, specific to our ranks. Matthew, you have, here's how we have Tevin Coleman, and I'll go down the line. Me at 16, Matthew at 19, Stefania at 10, and then Ito Smith, again, down the line. Me at 38, Matthew at 26, Stefania at 40. So Stefania, you and I feel like he has fallen into the end zone for three straight games, but that might be what it takes for him to sort of cash in for fantasy relevance this week.
Right. I mean, part of it was the matchup. Part of it's the fact that I know he has the lead job. There's no Devontae Freeman coming in this week.
Yep.
It's going to be Tevin Coleman. Yes, Ito Smith is going to take some of the work, but I still am in the camp that Tevin Coleman is the more featured back. And it's the run defense of the Giants. Like, I just think it's a great matchup for him. So, it was pretty easy for me to see him have the potential to go into the top 10.
Now, the hard part for the Falcons this year is they haven't had a chance to really have a game where Tevin Coleman or Devontae Freeman, for that matter, could just run it,
right,
and run it some more, because they're often playing either from behind or it's like we're going 200 miles an hour to stave off the truck that's going 195 miles an hour, Matthew. But again, you seem to think that Smith is going to have enough of a role to merit a flex play.
Yeah, I mean, we're all, Stefania's by far the highest on Tevin, but we all have him, Stefania has him as an RB1, but you and I both have him as a starter as well. You have,
yep,
Tevin Coleman at 16, I have him at 19. So none of us are saying bench Tevin Coleman. I think, but yes, I am putting my money where my mouth is, and so my ranks reflect the fact that I think it is a much closer split between these two than you guys. And so, give you a couple of thoughts here, and these are things I probably should have mentioned when we were discussing it earlier, right? But to the point of, in terms of snaps and touches between the two, when you're talking about, like, he's played twice as many snaps, he's played, you know, almost twice as many touches as well. If you look at their touch percentage in terms of when they're actually in the game, Ito Smith touching the ball on 45% of his plays, Tevin Coleman 40% of his. So I think somewhat in terms of they're using Tevin Coleman in, you know, areas where they're not getting the ball to him, whether it's pass protection, or running routes as sort of a decoy, if you will, whatever have you. But I do think which guy has the better chance of scoring the touchdown, I think it's Ito Smith.
Okay.
I think there's a rushing touchdown here. I think Ito Smith has the best chance. Again, he's got the most red zone snap, most red zone carries. He's got the most carries inside an opponent's 10-yard line since week two. He has scored in three straight games. Tevin Coleman hasn't rushed for a touchdown since week one. In this game here. So for me, I don't know. I don't know.
We'll see what the game flow is, but I have a feeling Atlanta's going to get up big and then there's going to be a whole lot of running.
Which isn't, I like it. That is also entirely possible. Last 3 weeks, the Giants are allowing the ninth most fantasy points to opposing running backs as well. I think there's a chance for both guys to have good fantasy days here. So, like I said, how do you, We have a board bet already.
Yeah.
But how do you see this? Let's say there's 30 touches total between the two running backs in terms of pass catches and runs,
yep,
in this game.
Yep.
How do you see those 30? See, I would say it's like 16, 14.
Right. I think it's
17, 13, maybe something like that.
2010 is my.
You would say 2010.
Yeah. Tevin Coleman's a good player who's certainly, mm-hmm, motivated. He's got 12 games or 10 games, I'm sorry, until free agency. I think he wants to cash in and make good on what has been, what is an opportunity for him, not a golden opportunity because Devontae Freeman's hurt, but an opportunity for him to really cash in.
The weird part is that I agree with you in the sense that I think Tevin Coleman's a good player. I don't think he's really shown it this year. I think he's been inconsistent.
Not, right.
I mean, he's been inconsistent. There's a lot goes into this stat, right? It's not just all on him, but he's averaging 3.7 yards per carry. You take out that 36-yard carry against Carolina in week two, it drops down to 3.2.
Right.
I mean, he's got one sort of outlier carry there.
Right, you drop out the outlier carry and he gets to Ito Smith level of 3.2 yards per carry. So,
but one of them scoring touchdowns though. Yeah. I mean, like, they seem to have put, they like Ito Smith in that role, and I don't think that suddenly goes away now that Devontae Freeman's out
for
the year.
Out. Yep, we will find out, certainly. They both have three touchdowns for the record, by the way. So they're both scoring touchdowns, yes, so far this year. Tariq Cohen for the Patriots. He is coming in at Matthew's 20th ranked running back. I've got him at 23. Stefania has him at 28. It's not so much that we disagree on Tariq Cohen. It's more noting just how much of a running back split this is right now in Chicago, Matthew.
I have Ito Smith. Hang on for a second. I want to do this one more time. I'm going to double down on this. You have Ito Smith at 38. I have him at 26.
Correct.
I say Ito Smith is a top 30 fantasy running back this week.
So
I'm giving the split on my side. I'm giving you more cushion here.
Sure, what the heck? Why not? I don't know. I mean, I want to give you at least a couple opportunities to get blown out even further at board bets. Sure, go ahead. You still haven't given me my Stan stocks, by the way.
What? Don't get me started on the Stan stocks.
I thought for sure that I had already sent things along. How many pairs did Matthew owe you? Like, that's the question.
Well, I have cashed in on one pair, but I have not. I've won a second pair since.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gosh, Matthew, quit losing pairs of Stan socks.
Thank you. I say Ito Smith is not a top 30 running back in week 7.
I say Ito Smith is a top 30 running back in week 7. Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
All right, let's move to Tariq Cohen now because we have him all in a similar territory. 20 for you, Matthew. 23 for me, and Stefania has him at 28. We all feel as though this is sort of a running back. This is a running back split in Chicago, and there's some discouraging signs for those that roster Jordan Howard.
Yeah, there are. Last two games, Tariq Cohen playing almost as many snaps as Jordan Howard. It's a 64-59 split for Howard. And he's had less touches. Jordan Howard, 25 touches the last two games. Tariq Cohen has 32. And in fact, the last two games, in terms of touch percentage, in terms of when they're on the field, how often do they touch the ball when they're actually on the field? Cohen's at 54%, Jordan Howard just 39%. And honestly, if you just think about the eye test and you're just watching these games, the offense is starting to look like what we imagined it would look like in the preseason under Matt Nagy. Like, and you know, Trubisky's playing better. They're scheming guys into space. They're using the matchups that they can get with the speed of Taylor Gabriel and Tariq Cohen. Like, it's just like one of these things is not like the other. One of these things doesn't belong. And it's plotting Jordan Howard, not, you know, all these speedy guys that they've got out there.
Yeah, no, it's. He is a better fit. Like, I don't want to say that Jordan Howard is a square peg trying to be jammed into a round hole because he's a good player, right?
He is
a big physical guy.
We like Jordan Howard.
Things. However, it's pretty clear to us that Tariq Cohen's a more explosive player and that Jordan Howard, like, the quickest way to lose trust of a coaching staff is fumble at the 6-inch line. Mm-hmm. And he did that last week. So it's possible.
He pulled like what I like to call a Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
Pulled a Drake.
Two guys that came very close to scoring and did not come close enough to cash in. So yes,
finish.
Tariq Cohen will never have this job unto himself, right? I mean, like, he's pint size and Jordan Howard is valuable enough, but it's more about like what it takes away from Jordan Howard as opposed to, what Tariq Cohen will eventually, like, he'll never be an RB1, I don't think, in our books, or in our ranks, I should say, but just gotta be careful for Jordan Howard because if the goal line touches start to go elsewhere, then it's a problem.
And that is correct. The other thing is you just sort of think about how this game plays out against New England, and we expect some scoring, you know, especially given, you know, that there's a chance Khalil Mack doesn't play in this game. And so, you know, the Bears defense maybe not as strong as it is. And so as it has been so far this year, Miami sort of exposed them a little bit last week. And so when you've got a score to keep up with Tom Brady and the Patriots, you're probably doing it, you know, with Tariq Cohen.
Yep, no doubt about that. So let's move along to our pass catchers. But first, a live read from Matthew Berry.
All right. My live read is from Lexus. Why don't we start betting Lexuses? Can we do that?
Want to start do that?
Will Lexus pony up for that if we just give us some Lexuses to bet back and forth?
Yeah, I'll make some calls, see what I can do, Matthew.
Call Lana and see if we can make that happen. That would be cool. Anyway, while we're waiting to see whether you and I could bet Lexuses, it would be a lot of fun. This is the kind of car that Stefania drives. The all-new Lexus ESF Sport is here. Like, it's a high-end car. It's the kind of car that star Fania would allow herself to be seen in.
One that you would be also riding in.
Yeah. I'd be also riding. That's right. It always is. It's always Stefania and then it's also riding Matthew Berry. Lexus has taken everything they've ever mastered and put it in the ES, daring design, imaginative technology, dynamic performance, because crafting every detail to surpass expectations means nothing. If it doesn't lead to the experience of something greater, everyone knows this. Every curve, innovation, and feeling is a product of mastery, epitome of unconventional craftsmanship. Hand stitching on the dash, three-dimensional quilted seat designs, years of research, and exhaustive testing, resulting in a robust 302 horsepower, 3.5-liter direct injection V6 engine. All these big words in this read, I'm telling you, this is expensive words right here. Lexus words. Further amplifying its breathtaking performance, an all-new 8-speed automatic transmission delivers intuitive responsiveness and seamless acceleration. Integrated suite of class-leading standard active safety equipment includes lane tracing assist. It monitors visible lane markings and preceding vehicles to help keep you centered in the lane. Pre-collision system with pedestrian and bicyclist detection. Should it detect a potential frontal collision, it can automatically brake the vehicle to stop, lane departure alert with steering assist, and so much more. It's a better car than you deserve. Let's be perfectly honest about this. But why not get it? Every curve, every innovation, every feeling, a product of mastery. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer and field. Elite Picks is brought to you by Lexus.
And we know, Matthew, that when he is healthy, T.Y. Hilton is always an elite pick for the Indianapolis Colts offense. But Stefania, against this Bills defense that, you know, has been pretty competitive
this year. Been pretty good.
What do we know on T.Y. Hilton's availability?
Well, we don't know anything definitive. He hasn't been spotted at practice, but as you know, that doesn't mean that he's not working diligently behind the scenes. Keep in mind, this is the same Colts team that kept Marlon Mack out until they were really, really confident in his health, especially because the first time he dipped his toe back in the pool, had a little bit of a setback with the hamstring. So with T.Y. Hilton being a speed guy, the finesse, wide receiver that's going to be needed for the deep ball pass from Andrew Luck, you don't want him out there before you're confident that you're at least in the very low end of risk and suffering a setback. That being said, my understanding is that he's making good progress. And so you just watch the practice reports. You see him start to get out there a little bit this week. Even if he's listed as limited, I think there's a chance that T.Y. could play this week. So I ranked him understanding there was a possibility that he might be available this week, but it could come down to the wire.
Very good news right there, Matthew. I don't want to make it too simple, but let's say that on Sunday he is going to play. We are probably going to vouch for having him in the lineup. We understand that even if he does play, he might not be 100%, but T.Y., quick strike master.
He is. I mean, it's not a great matchup to make your first game back here against the Bills.
Yeah.
We expected a shadow from Tre'Davious White. Bills have allowed the third fewest deep completions this season. They have yet to allow a deep touchdown pass, one of only three defenses in the NFL to say that. You think about DeAndre Hopkins against Tre'Davious White and the Bills last week. Five catches, six targets, 63 yards. That was a season low for DeAndre Hopkins. So I agree with you, but I have T.Y. Hilton at 20. I think he's a borderline starter, but it's not somebody that I'm playing in daily, for example.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you'd be nervous. You would have to lower expectations.
One more here, and it's Josh Gordon. And really what this is about is the encouraging signs we saw last week against the Kansas City Chiefs. He did not cash in 9.2 fantasy points, I think it was, in total for Josh Gordon. But so many positive signs, probably could have had a touchdown, drew a defensive pass interference at the 1 yard line, mm-hmm. had another
couple
target
off target
in the end zone.
Passes. Like, yeah.
So we're all excited about what Josh Gordon can be in this Patriots offense. This Bears defense is no joke. We talked about that already. But here's how we have Josh Gordon ranked for this week. 23 for Matthew, 22 for me, 16 for Stefania. You know, it seems like there's a chance, Stefania, that he already led the Patriots wide receivers in snaps, but it could get to the point that he becomes a basically every down player for them.
Right. I mean, if you look at just the route percentage by week with the Patriots, about 25% in week 4, 40% in week 5, over 92% in week 6. I think that's a function of his health. We talked about how they would contain him, not have as many snaps, as many routes run, and also contain the distances, essentially. So have him in there where there was no danger that he would go out for a deep pass and run the risk of a setback. And they seemed to basically let the reins go last week. So all of a sudden now, Josh Gordon being released, and you assume he came out of the game no worse for the wear. He looked good playing. I think that was sort of the signal that he's ready to go and they're not going to hold him back anymore.
Yeah. Coach Belichick effusive in his praise saying, quote, I would just say his role is expanding weekly and we'll just see how it all plays out, which is basically, I mean, that's Belichickian for I'm throwing the ball to this guy every single play. Wesleyan graduate Bill Belichick.
Wesleyan
heaping praise.
Bill. That's right.
That's right.
Heaping
look at
praise.
Oh, Bill Belichick went to Wesleyan too?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it's a small college.
I had no idea.
You go by the Cardinals.
I know, we've not talked about it at all.
That is incredible.
Yeah. NBD. So, Josh Gordon did lead the Patriots in routes run last week. Targets with 9. Like, there are so many encouraging signs. Maybe he soon becomes a fixture as a top 12, 15, 18 play in our wide receiver rankings.
He's just such a physical, just the buzz about him. You know, he's not just another receiver that's on the field. It's the way he makes plays. It's his physique. He's super impressive. And for me, part of the reason I'm so high on him is just the upside factor. I think that he could, you know, blow up your fantasy team in a good way.
He has that potential. I am slightly outside my top 20 just because of all the other weapons the Patriots have. And the Bears have been good at home this year.
No breaking news drop needed. Just going to pass this along. Not a ton of fantasy relevance, but Derek Anderson will start for the Bills this weekend. No surprise there. Josh Allen has the elbow injury. The real question was whether it will be Derek Anderson or Nathan Peterman.
And also, just to, since you mentioned that, Mike Rodak just reporting that this elbow sprain that he's dealing with, there is not going to be surgical, but he is going to be week to week.
Derek Anderson a better choice than Nathan Peterman, but the Colts remain a very good streaming defense for the week.
They sure do. I have only 15 seconds to tell you about Sport Clips haircuts, but sports on TV, original MVP haircut experience, and the online check-in means you don't have to think about where you get your haircut ever again. Just do it. Claim your spot today. Sportclips.com/check-in. Trust me, it is worth your time. All right, we have a special guest joining the podcast today, and I can't remember if we already announced it earlier on in the week.
We talked about it yesterday.
Sorry. Listen, I'm like you. I have short-term memory with these podcasts, right? It is a pleasure to be joined. Is she on the line yet or no?
Yes.
I'm trying to think of your official title. We're just going to call her the boss of ESPN, Dina Kimes, who has she's got a headshot on the screen already, too.
Yeah. No, you probably can't see it, Mina. It says ESPN superstar Mina Kimes joins the show.
That's right.
That is... I've been nice to Mina for a long time, and it's for this reason and this reason only. Eventually, we're all working for her. Same. So the fact of the matter is I'm just trying to get in good now before she rules us all. The great Mina Kimes.
That's right. The great Mina Kimes, who has a new podcast.
Yes.
And Mina, if you could, would you be so kind as to indulge us and tell us all about this fancy new podcast that we're going to help you with the title at some point soon?
It is the Mina Kimes Show now.
Oh, funny.
Wow. See, that's really, that's going out on a limb.
Come up with that by yourself? Or do you have a team of writers work on that?
Lenny wormed his way in.
Yeah. And I love Lenny.
There's actually new art with Lenny in it as well. I don't know if you guys have seen A Star Is Born, but I'm clearly living out a Star Is Born scenario right now with my own dog. But I'm so excited.
Which one are you?
I am a long time focus. Oh. This analogy, probably I shouldn't follow it to its
Yeah, because there's a couple of ways you could go with this, Mina. Yeah. I'm just...
Okay. I see us more as like a Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes situation where Lenny's just biding his time and we know what's going to happen.
One year from now, Lenny has his own pupcast, perhaps, would work.
Yeah, he's going to have an agent. His Instagram page.
Yeah, so tell us, does it come out every single week at the same date and time? And what's sort of the gist of the podcast, at least during the football season?
Yes, so it comes out every Thursday. We might add another day at some point. But it is just kind of previewing the weekend's games, talking about some of the storylines I want to talk about, usually talking about Thursday night football. And it's been fun. I've had a variety of guests. Maybe some people from this show could join me at some point.
It's going to be a little competition to see who gets invited first.
Who Mina invites first. Yeah. Yeah. Right. All of us are willing to commit podultry to come on your show. Mina, just say the word. Well, I'm excited about this because, you know, for anyone in our audience and I don't know how someone in our audience is not familiar with Mina, but she does such a great job for us on so many platforms. She's a terrific writer. She is terrific on TV. She's great on radio. I'm so excited about this new podcast as well. And honestly, her best platform might be social. You know, as good as you are, Field, on Twitter, Mina Kimes crushes you. She might be the best follow on Twitter out there, at Mina Kimes. And so if anyone that doesn't follow Mina on Twitter, you may not know, but she's a diehard Seattle Seahawks fan. So let's talk a little bit about your Seahawks here, Mina. And yesterday I went on an epic rant, and so instead of asking you a specific question,
the floor is yours to do the same
about your Seahawks. It's hard. And I'll ask you one question if you don't want to just rant. How do you see Russell Wilson, who you and I have actually texted about this?
Whatever.
That's right. So Russell Wilson is traditionally a slow starter. Seemed to have a little bit of success recently as well, but he's not running. Like, how do you see Russell Wilson and this passing offense coming out of the bye?
Well, the last couple of weeks have been really encouraging, but the opponents are about to get a lot tougher. I will say that. But for Seahawks fans, a lot of the frustration has been around the offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer, who insists on running this 1995 offense, right? The fact that they didn't use until recently play action, despite the fact that Russell Wilson is incredible. The fact that he barely runs now, okay, which is, you know, from a fantasy perspective, a lot of his value has come from there in the past. He does not want to keep the ball. And some of that is by offensive design, but some of it, when you watch the games, you see Russell Wilson making the decision either not to keep or to barely scramble and slide, right? So I don't foresee that changing until maybe later in the season if things get a little bit desperate, but his sort of approach has been changing. That said, I am optimistic about the offense based on what we've seen over the last few games. They seem to have found a somewhat successful formula, and it does involve him passing, even though they have the lowest run-pass balance. It leans more towards the run than any team in the entire league right now. So I'm still optimistic that he's going to turn things around, but is he a top five, top six, top seven guy? I don't think so.
You know, Mina, beyond that, with the running backs, just to get back there, not to belabor the point there, but we've been surprised by the lack of Rashad Penny to this point. He had 9 carries in this last game in London. Do you foresee a scenario where he could like make a mark and jump Mike Davis on the depth chart, or maybe even be the starter?
Oh, you mean it might not have been a good idea to spend a first-round pick on a running back?
You said it, not me, all right?
Field, we were together at the draft, and I think you saw the terror wash over my face.
You might have sworn.
You got the news before me. I did swear. Listen, I do not think that we're going to see a ton of Rashad Penny in the near future for the reason you just mentioned. It's not Chris Carson. It's Mike Davis is being targeted more as a receiver, right? And he's been very effective, right? Rashad Penny hasn't shown anything better, in my opinion, than either of these backs. He's also still a bit of a liability in the blocking game. So I think it's going to be a slow process of working him in to this offense, and it's going to be very frustrating for fantasy owners.
Well, Mina, only a 49ers fan can feel worse than a Seahawks fan. So, I will offload you there after I'm still recovering from Monday night where we almost pulled it off.
You look good.
And we have one of your.
Oh my God.
You look good. Look good. You can like, hear it.
Mina's my friend, even though, you know, we have Richard Sherman now.
That was the audio equivalent of a pat on the head is what that was.
She's right. They did look good. That said, they still lost. But so speaking of losses, Mina, how do we get you and I out of the loss column in our women's league teams? Mm-hmm. So, you actually have been bouncing back though. I know it was a little bit of rough go at the beginning. And interestingly, by the way, Daniel created two divisions and he put me in one. And it's called the 49ers. And he put Mina in the other. And it's called the Seahawks.
Right.
And we are performing up to expectations, are we not?
I am 3-3 now. I don't know if, Daniel, can I disclose this?
You can disclose whatever you need to disclose, Mina.
Okay. So I was in Greenland during the draft, and Daniel drafted my team.
I know. You were halfway around the world, but I mean.
I had a very detailed sheet that she gave me of like, this is what you're doing. This is who you're targeting.
Look at Daniel trying to throw you under the bus. That's what happens on this podcast, Mina.
You know what? So I did ask for Chris Carson, not as a top pick, but, and Tyler Lockett, which really paid dividends this last week. And I'm feeling pretty good about while we're on the Seahawks topics. I do have the Bell Connor tandem on my team. Having those two backs means this week they're both on bye. So I have been scrambling. I added Marlon Mack, which I'm feeling pretty good about.
You should. You looked good last week.
You guys feeling good about that? A desperation heave for Frank Gore. Feeling a little less good about that.
The ageless wonder Frank Gore, former 49er Frank Gore. I'm impressed that you were willing to allow that on your team. But actually, Mina, you and I have the same record. We're decidedly mediocre at 3-3 in the women's league. So, but it's great to have your presence there. I can't tell you all the women who play in the league were so excited that Mina Kimes was going to be part of the competition this year. And by the way, you guys may not know this, but Mina and I used to do a Sunday radio show together, you know, before she was big, famous, big star and all that.
Before she pushed you aside. Yep. Fair enough.
Yes. Well, as she should.
And passed you, right?
The person who came in last among the folks who were on air in that group had to write a rap. And guess who had to write the rap? Me. But Mina, you like, you approve.
I
performed the rap.
How do you not have audio?
Oh, no, there's audio.
She didn't perform it. She crushed it. Crushed it.
How about that?
I demand tape of this to be played on the show Secret Squirrel.
And so I wrote about my pal Mina, and I was trying, I told her, I was trying, I was so, the thing I was most nervous about besides performing a rap on air on national radio was impressing Mina with my, with the written word. I mean, I was nervous.
I'm not trying to be a jerk, but like, did Stefania crush it in the sense that like the bar was like exceedingly low?
So,
who has, was like, did she crush it relative to like Kendrick Lamar, or did she like crush it like, she, she got through it.
Yeah, was this like Eminem at the end of 8 Mile, or was this just like an eighth grader, like, you know?
Stop.
This was like Kyle Shanahan's mixtape on Monday night.
No. Stefania, I gotta stand up for you. It was so good. Everybody's jaws dropped in the studio. Nobody knew what to talk about next because it was so unbelievable.
Golic Jr. was there. He bore witness to it.
We'll get audio of this and we will play it.
Everybody else be the judge. Yeah.
Mina, we know you have to go because you are taping the new next episode of the Mina Kimes podcast. We had all sorts of alternate titles for you. Like not bootleg with Nina
False
Kimes.
False start. Yeah.
False start.
Offsides with Mina Kimes.
Very accurate.
Yes. We had, so anyway.
I
was doing,
Go ahead.
Exotic Smash Mouth was one thrown out that I decided was
I like that.
That could have been great.
Mina, one question before you go. Was Lenny complicit?
No.
All right. Lenny was not complicit. Mina Kimes is great. Go find her on Twitter and Instagram at Mina Kimes, MinaKimes, and download and subscribe to her podcast. It'll be worth your time. Thank you, Mina.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
There you go. There you have it. The great Mina Kimes.
Time now.
She is so talented.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all about me promo.
The NBA season started yesterday. We're about ready to get into week 7 of the NFL season. I mentioned this yesterday. I want to mention it again. RotoPassDaily.com. If you play DFS, if you are trying to win some money, RotoPassDaily.com brings together the best DFS sites, sites that have unbelievable insight and analysis and tools and lineup setters that can help you crush the competition, that compete at a higher level. Fantasy Labs, Roto Grinders, Daily Roto, ESPN Plus, of course. You get RotoWire, our friends at RotoWire, Roto Tracker as well. Check it out. Look through it as well. It is, if you want to win at DFS, RotoPassDaily.com is for you. If you use the promo code LAUNCH to celebrate the launch of this website, you get 15% off. So LAUNCH, all capital letters, LAUNCH. Go to RotoPassDaily.com and start getting into playing some DFS. It's a
lot
of fun.
That sounds good. Absolutely it is. It's always a great Sunday activity. Daniel, time now for some ZipRecruiter Fan of the Week submissions.
Yeah, you bet. Here we go. First one, the question, a reminder, if you had to choose one member of the 060 to be your tag team partner in a wrestling match, who would you choose? What would their wrestling name be? First one says, I would definitely pick Daniel, not only because he looks the part, but because Lions fans have that deep, deep sadness and rage in the bowels of their psyche. And he could call on that desperate nothing to lose, the Dop of Detroit. P.S. This theory also works for Not Cool Keith, but he doesn't seem to have any closeted rage to call upon.
That's true. Not Cool Keith is the most stable, nicest, low-key
guy. You know,
guy.
Though, if you ever seen Keith when he's like reffing? Or he's playing in like one of his league sport.
He's a competitor.
Yeah, he's a competitor. You might be able to extract that.
I
want to
watch
the
Browns game with Keith sometime. What else you got, Daniel?
That one came from Tyler Henderson, by the way.
Not a bad way to start, Tyler.
Right.
All right.
But I like the pit of sadness or whatever it is you have,
Daniel.
Bowels of sadness.
So this one says, I would choose Mike Clay, a.k.a. the Clayculator. Tag team finishing move is the projection connection. I throw the opponent off the top ropes, and upon their return, I lift the opponent up into the air. And then the Clayculator then leaps into the air to perform a neck breaker like the 3D. I don't know who 3D is. I don't know if that's a wrestler. His solo finishing move would be... Oh, Diamond Dallas.
The greatest of all time.
The solo finishing move would be the number cruncher, which would be a tombstone pile driver onto Mike Clay's algorithm-filled computer.
Oh, my goodness.
That is from Arun Kanjira.
Okay. Not bad right there. Not bad. Be very descriptive, right?
Yeah.
Very descriptive. All right. This one comes from Austin Riley. I would choose Matthew based solely on the idea that Matthew's dad body would render him nearly immobile in the ring, leaving him as a human punching bag for the other team to waste all their energy on. While I finally get tagged in, spry, full of pep, I will be able to evade all of the opponents and defeat them due to their exhaustion. And his wrestling name, of course, would be the Big Beignet.
I had to wait for that line, but the delivery at the end, payoff was good.
All right, this next one is from Evan Nogi. The question, obviously still the same, the wrestling partner. If, of course, Stefania Bell would be my pick a tag team wrestling partner. For what would be better than the 0610's Rose between two thorns taking a heel turn? Her intimate knowledge of the human body would allow us to inflict maximum damage on our foes. And her signature move, the bell ringer, would involve both a groin and a finger tweak. When she's really backed into a corner, we'd employ the cone, the perfect hamstring-based move that would leave our opponents begging for a recall. Calling ourselves the Ding Dongs, we take foes around from far and wide, from Farmington to Bristol, San Francisco to Princeton, and from Miami to Kansas.
I love it.
That guy's a fan. That's not bad. That's not bad either.
Ding Dongs. Okay.
The Ding Dongs.
All right, we got three more.
I like the Rose Between Two Thorns reference.
I'm sure you did. Patrick
Making
Popovich.
A heel turn.
If I had to pick a member of the 0610 to be my tag team partner, it would have to be Matthew, because I would need someone with a girthier stature to balance out my small but cut physique. Our wrestling names would naturally be the Hustle Hamster, shout out to the 0610, and the Killsbury Doughboy. I'm assuming
that
you're not the Hustle Hamster in this scenario.
The Hustle Hamster.
Positive.
I mean, that's going obscure.
Killsbury
the Hustle
Doughboy.
Hamster and the Killsbury Doughboy.
Okay. I like that.
That's Patrick.
All right, this one comes from Ethan Risley. I would have to choose Daniel to be my tag team partner. Secret Squirrel Daniel Dopp and Ethan the Grizzly Risley fighting in the main event together as the Untamable Animal Brothers. We would be the perfect team, but not because not only do we have matching beards, but we both already have animal-themed nicknames that fit right into the wrestling world, and we should have love of bands that no one has ever heard of. We would not only destroy our opponents, but we would take the WWE Tag Team Championship, and so Secret Squirrel, get ready, because we need to practice our signature move, Mauled by a Squirrel. That is from Ethan the Grizzly Grizzly.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Mauled by a Squirrel.
And this last one is from Robert Anthony.
Did we ever find out what, by the way, on Maudlin, what was the poll results on Maudlin?
I'll have Kyle pull them up while I'm finishing this.
Okay.
Poor Kyle's trying to keep track of all these names.
My tag team partner, it couldn't be Matthew, a.k.a. the Pasty Pastry.
Wow.
He doesn't hustle enough, and he'd be too lethargic from consuming too many beignets.
Pasty pastry is what you meant to say.
Oh, what did I say? Did I say pastry?
The pasty pastry.
Tomato, tomato, potato, potato.
Pasty pastry.
All right.
He's telling the truth, though. Yep.
Field, a.k.a. the Wesleyan Weasel.
Oh, I like that.
That's
a nickname that might stick.
That may fit.
By the way.
He would probably cower in fear all while yelling, not in the face, not in the face. I have a sports center segment tomorrow.
Oh, I like that.
That's
good.
That's pretty good.
Choosing Dopp, a.k.a. Fitz Tragic, because the beard makes him look like he can legitimately fight, but, well, you know, he can't.
Right.
He might have been a solid choice if he didn't look like a slack-jawed clerk at your local guitar center.
Nice. You do sort of look like a slack-jawed clerk at a local guitar center.
I'm enjoying this one.
That leaves me with my clear choice, Stefania, a.k.a. the Widowmaker.
Ooh.
Because she'd know all the ligaments and pressure points to go for, to bring Andre the Giants to the world, to their knees.
Rest in peace.
Can you smell what the Widowmaker is cooking for you? And that's how we ended it.
Yes.
That's not from bad. Robert Anthony.
I actually laughed the most at that one. I mean, it was funny all the way through.
Honest, I feel like we had underwhelming responses relative to previous ZipRecruiter fans of the week. Fair.
There was a lot of effort, though. People put a lot of effort into those.
No, we know. I know, but we didn't have, like, the knee buckler, right?
Where I thought the last one was really funny.
Well,
I laughed at all.
You.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Every name in there was funny.
My favorites.
Yep. I think we have two, right?
There were a couple. I thought the
Big Beignet.
I thought the Big Beignet was funny. I thought the Hustle Hamster Killsbury Doughboy was funny.
Yep. And the last one.
And the last one.
The last one.
So let's narrow it down to those three then. What do we say?
Well, I vote for the Widowmaker.
Okay, Matthew, if you had to choose between these Ding Dong, I'm sorry, the Dad Bod and the Hustle Hamster slash Killsbury Doughboy, which would you choose? Then we can put it up to that versus the Widowmaker. How about that?
I think I would go with Hustle Hamster, Killsbury Doughboy, Dad Bod, a Big Beignet. That is really was just about the Big Beignet. It was the one line.
That was a good.
But the other ones are a little more clever throughout. Yeah. So.
I might
so, yeah,
use
so we can
hashtag,
get rid of Big Beignet.
I might still use hashtag Big Beignet in a photo.
That's fine.
Killsbury Doughboy versus the Widowmaker.
My vote goes for the Widowmaker.
I think mine
makes
does, too.
Happy.
There you go. Widowmaker, you're the ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week.
That's
you're
right.
Robert smart. Anthony, congratulations. I'm really excited because his Twitter handle is at Golden Voice Guy.
Oh,
so there's a
good.
Lot to
nice.
Live up to for this.
A lot of potential there.
Okay.
For him.
Yeah.
Really That's quickly.
Let's hear what you got.
Next week's question for the smartest fan of the week, ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week.
Yep.
A zombie apocalypse breaks out,
yep.
and you have to choose one member of the 0610 to be your survival buddy. Who are you choosing and why?
Very appropriate for the Halloween
yeah, that
coming
is good.
Up, right?
Halloween.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. First I mean, Halloween party for us this
I feel
Friday.
Bad for all you guys. Like, literally none of you are getting any votes on this one.
I was literally like a commando in the military. Like, what are you talking about?
Look, like, when a zombie apocalypse comes... Here, I'll tell you exactly, well, I'm just gonna, but when a zombie apocalypse comes, what do you want with your buddy, right? You want somebody that the zombies can get before they can get
the
you.
The slow one.
That's me. You want the slow one, right? And by the way, when the zombie apocalypse comes, like, the zombies are gonna be in the restaurants and the grocery stores, you're gonna need to eat something. Who are you gonna wanna eat? Me. I got meat around the bones. Like, I'm obviously the tastiest of the four of us. So it's...
This is propaganda now. Like, you can't be doing this, Matthew. Like, let them decide on their own answers. We'll have submissions for you next Wednesday. Before we out of here, Daniel, what do you got?
64% of the people knew the word Matthew.
Maudlin.
That's
well
right.
done by Matthew.
Yeah,
very
exactly.
smart.
Did you introduce my new vocab word yesterday?
Yeah, I said maudlin and no one knew what that meant, Stefania.
I'm impressed with your word of the day.
His vernacular is expanding.
Yes.
Exactly. Right, Wesleyan education just not doing it for you.
We are back on Thursday with a preview of Cardinals and Broncos, perhaps the game of the year. She's Stefania _ESPN on Twitter and StefaniaB87 on Instagram. Matthew Berry, TMR on all forms of social media, except for the Fantasy Life app. He's just at Matthew Berry. My name's at Field Yates. Back tomorrow.
Peace out.
You're an 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys, go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jail bait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv. At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret squirrel, Daniel Dodd.
Make
it
happen.
Media.